Welcome to Biggest Geekest. We're your hosts. I'm Randy.
I'm Joe. Hello?
Yeah, sorry. Something's going on here.
Right.
What's up, man? Sorry. Had some weird windows open being screwy. So what's new, brother? Anything exciting? Except for Big Geek Con about to happen?
Well, what we should also do is say, this is episode 157 of the show, and the date is Tuesday, September 19th, 2023.
Dude, my mind is Frazzle. Everywhere. Mr. My mind Frazzle. Is everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they're already talking. Martinson corrected me 3 days and counting. Darth Theix says, sweet, can't wait to get to BGC. Be leaving tomorrow at midnight Central Time. Ugh. That's awesome, Darth. Can't wait to see you, man. It's going to be fun.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Larry's threatening us with a good time.
He is threatening us with some cookies, dude. Believe it or not, Mr. Larry can make some sweet little cookies there. They'll be good. So you will see that at the great and powerful Big Geek Con. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not get any gaming in. What about you, bro?
Not me either. What I have been doing is writing a couple of things. I wrote some ideas I had down for alternate rules, and I wrote down, after we talked about some stuff last week, I was thinking a little more about campaign world, mm-hmm. and kind of incorporating not precisely what I was talking about last week, but more conceptually, like the prime material plane is the place to be, but even going further and saying there's just one world. Everything that happens there.
Sure.
That'll I mean, there are places you can go, but it's really one thing.
Yep. Nothing else.
I mean, it's not like, it's not the Great Wheel.
Gotcha. I like the Great Wheel, but that's cool to reimagine things in different ways. But yeah, so the only gaming I did, I was creating too. I wrote an adventure titled The Dread Witch of Shadow Mountain that I'm going to be running at Big Geek Con. It was set up mainly for a younger audience, but I think adults will have fun too. Let's just say the high concept is simple. There's a couple of twists I think folks might like, so I'm excited about that. And so I got to get some things together tonight. I have a busy night tonight before I go back to work tomorrow, and I'm excited. So it's going to be fun. Lots of brewing. We'll talk about more of that at the end of the show about Big Geek Con, what things you can expect to see and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did do was it last week that I put out that video? I think Joe's got it up on YouTube, where I was showing off the 4-point Sheraton, Sheraton. And it's a really nice ballroom type thing that we have. And my wife and I'll be there Thursday night setting it all up. It's going to be basically awesome. That's what it's going to be. So,
a request for my wife.
Yes.
She loves coffee, and she's mm-hmm. making plans on how we can make sure there's coffee there. Is that something everybody's going to have to individually do? It's just a conference room, right?
Or ballroom. Right. So probably down the hall, there will be some coffee, I would imagine. Other than that, you could bring a Keurig. We could plug that in. We're going to have a table.
Our Keurig broke.
Oh, well, that's not great.
And there's no way to fix them.
Yeah, really? Is that the case? They're just not really.
Well, I think the way it looks, there's not a bunch of screws you can take it apart and try to see what's the wrong with it. It's all molded together.
Oh, okay. I see. So there's no fixie. It's breaking.
Yeah. I think the water pump broke in it. So
I bet we can figure out something. So we have a Keurig. I may have an extra Keurig actually that still works. I should pull that out. If I get a chance, I'll pull out a test and maybe I'll bring it. But I've got a big pile of things that I'm bringing. So, but yeah.
We have a couple of backup coffee makers here.
Yeah.
And she does a pour over.
Oh, okay. I'm not a coffee guy, so.
Yeah. I didn't know there was pour over coffee, but put the grounds in and you just pour the water over it.
Larry Elliott said there is a Speedway next door as well. Yeah, there's a lot of convenient stuff located by that hotel, so food and stuff. So, but yeah,
we'll say that Speedway coffee is not real coffee. I don't either. I don't know either.
It means nothing to me. Coffee literally means nothing to me.
I hear people talking about coffee.
That's a rumor.
And coffee. Darth said people are snobs about everything, including coffee. Joe, yeah, things are not made to be repaired nowadays. They just want you to buy a new one, whatever it is. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but when I was writing my adventure, the witch adventure, or detailing it, I had worked it out a couple weeks ago. I was having fun. I forget how much fun I have when I design an adventure. I mean, just thinking about what the players may get up to and what could be a cool challenge for them or an interesting twist. And so I'm excited. I really secretly hope I can get a table of 14, 15, all the way down maybe 9 or 10-year olds and just see what kids do to it. But I also would have fun if it was all adults. I mean, I think it's going to be enough to be, it'll be, like I said, a simple high concept, but there's some fun stuff even for the grown-ups.
But what's the title of it again?
The Dread Witch of Shadow Mountain.
That reminds me of that old, there's an old Disney show, Witch Mountain. Witch Mountain.
Actually where I got the title. Good call. Return to Witch Mountain. That's exactly where I got the title. As far as I know, it has nothing to do with the movies. I haven't seen them in, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of years. So, that's exactly where I got it. Return to Witch Mountain.
Intellectually distinct from the Disney show of a similar name.
Yes. Arnman says he has the basic mentality of a 9-year-old on a good day. So he'll be great for that adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm, Escape from Witch Mountain, says Martinson. That was another one. Yeah. But I didn't do any other.
Escape and then Return. Yeah. Escape is the first one, and then Return is the second one.
Just a lot of get ready, plan, and got some last minute stuff today and tomorrow. And hopefully we'll be rocking and rolling. But anyway.
Good deal.
Other than that, did you get to game at all this week? No.
Nah, just like we said, just more theory crafting.
Sure. All right. Well, why don't we just jump into the topic today?
Okay.
And this is what I would call a revisit. We have done a discussion of handling PC death, and I wanted to revisit it because I wanted to know if Joe's opinion and my opinion have changed at all, matured, since the last time we talked about it. I believe it was episode 7 that we talked about PC death.
I thought we did something more recent than that.
Maybe, but I did a quick check. I was looking at it. I was like, I know we did something on this, and this is where I had, I think maybe it was 17. I don't know, but it was pretty far back. It wasn't like in the last year or two. Okay. So, but it does seem like it was. We talk about that a lot though.
Yeah.
To be fair. So, and I think this is kind of a, it's kind of a silly question. I'm going to ask it, though. I know for me and Joe, I'm pretty sure the answer is still the same. For some gamers, some of the ones that shall remain nameless that we'll make fun of, I'm already biased in the question. Should death be on the table at all?
Of course.
If you're telling a good story, you don't want the major characters, the lead heroes, to die, do you?
What did you say?
If you're telling a really cool story, a narrative. What?
This is a role-playing game.
Right.
Don't need no story around here.
I mean, if you're playing some dumb game.
Story
like,
dog.
If you're playing some dumb game like Fate, then yeah. Did I say that out loud? Yeah.
So if the point of your gaming is to make sure that your character stays alive so you can tell the adventures of my PC for years and years and years.
Or even your group of PCs.
Or a group of PCs. Well, no, but then what are you really doing?
Right. It's like, it's just story time. But my thing is this too. When I think about it, I really just forget that whether it's an RPG and kind of let go some of that. I just wouldn't be interested. Honestly, if death is not on the table, I'm mostly not interested.
Right. Because then there's so there's no actual risk. There's no actual death or pain or anything, but there's an illusion that you can buy into.
Yeah.
Or not, if you want to be weak sauce.
Right.
And carry around your character in bubble wrap all the time.
Right.
But right. So I don't, I just think that there's no problem with that. I know there's trauma people have when you talk about certain things, but
yeah. Elle says you must have consent to kill a PC at a con. Well, I'm assuming everybody's giving me consent because I'll kill whoever gets 0 hit points.
Attendance at Big Geek Con is implied consent.
Correct. What's up, lady? Shaking bacon. He's in the house. But yeah, so I mean that's kind of silly. How about this? Can death happen randomly?
Yeah.
Or at a only at a significant scene?
Well, I don't think it matters either way. Mm-hmm. Randomness is part of the game. We roll dice. If you're going to say we're going to roll the dice unless the PC dies or unless it ruins the momentum of things or whatever.
Yep.
You know, some people like to fudge the dice because of the story.
I know.
And
yeah,
I just think you let the dice fall where they may. And it's one of the quirks of the game of this, the game that we play. And if it messes with, if it throws you out of the story or whatever gobbledygook people will say, then that's your issue, not the game.
Yeah, and I think we reviewed last week that Martinson was playing an OSC game sometime 6-8 months ago of mine, playtest of Tygon's Falls. Homie died, first encounter, on the road, snakes, bitten, dead, save or die.
Right.
I mean, he literally didn't get to swing his sweet sword.
We did some planning, right? We did some planning. We talked. We said we're going to do it this way. Blah blah blah. It's not like we just jumped in there.
No, we
did all this planning, and then his character gets killed. So that's the way it happens. It's part of the game.
Our man asked for some clarity: random as opposed to planning to kill a particular character that session. No, though that's not a bad way to. I mean, I could see why you would take it that way. I mean, random as in like Martinson. He had a fighter, poisonous snake bit him. Very first encounter of the campaign. He didn't get to roll a single die. He failed his poison save, dead. That's random. Versus, you know, try to put some, you know, little mittens on. Welcome, Charlotte. What's up? And Charlotte Williams. I think she's over on Dungeon Diversity a lot. It's good to see her.
That's cool.
But anyway, so Martinson's character died. Oh, and he got bit by snakes right off the bat. Never got to do anything. I'll keep saying that till it actually finally stop. And then versus, well, I'm going to make sure that I don't kill these characters unless we're at a very significant scene until they fight the big ogre king. You know, kid gloves all the way through.
It'd be a shame if he never got a chance to use a character ability at all.
Yeah, that would be so horrible. That kind of
excuse.
Yeah. Or this, you know, this adventure is supposed to take you from level 2 to 3. I want to make sure he gets there before I kill him.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of it. And I know some people do it not with, and they don't think of it as such namby-pamby sauce. Their thought is, I want to make the story worthwhile. Patrick Demo, what's he asking? My only concern with death in games is that if you're an unlucky bastard, you're no longer playing the game, then you have to sit there for hours while everyone else is having fun. Oh, he's leading right into the next question. What if your character dies mid-session, which Martinson did?
Make a new one.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And if it takes...
Have some ready.
Yeah. I mean,
if you can. It's not always possible, but those are... But yeah, like Flady says, bring multiple characters.
It's probably a smart thing. There's nothing that can be... To me, if you put too many bumpers into the game where people can't fall, you know, run into a buzzsaw if they make the wrong decision or if they're unlucky. I mean, so what? I mean, nobody, and I mean nobody, is truly fully unlucky. I don't believe that. We got people at our table that claim, oh, I always roll bad, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't. I've watched all the 20 plus guys at Cabin Con I've played with. I've seen them roll awesome and I've seen them roll bad. I'll often say I don't roll very well and I've had bad streaks, but I have rolled 20s.
Yeah. I have good streaks and bad streaks like everybody.
Yeah. And my game of ICRPG with Buddy Ben, Magic Bean, very first session, you get bonuses for rolling 20s. I rolled like 420s in the very first session. Right on, Charlotte. She said snakes don't give a damn about no X cards. That's right.
They don't. They care. Just bite you.
Mm-hmm. They just bite you.
Kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but death does, like Patrick said, death does kind of bring a slowdown for the player and maybe DM too. Sure. But that's the nature of the game. And most of the games I play, I don't like too many safety nets. I want things to be dangerous. You don't want it to be like, I mean, good God, in DCC, someone mentioned that it's like, boy, it just seems like out of middle of nowhere, just crazy town. You could literally kill yourself casting a spell. It's not that that's not fun, but you got to be ready for that.
Well, it's like playing cards. You get a crappy hand. You can't do anything with it. All you're going to sit there and do is watch everybody else play, and you're just going along for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the thing. That was but Patrick, to be fair, he's talking about an old Elysium game. Remember the game?
That's a special
kind
situation.
Kind of a tournament thing. That sucked, but that's the way it is. Yeah. I mean, it happens in a tournament. Just like if we played in the Elysium Arenas, if you got killed, I mean,
you're done.
Yeah. I mean, Joe had a character that dropped a lot of people in one shot. So that was the nature of the beast. Do you think, though, what do you do if, like, I don't think at a campaign or even at a con, like my con, at Big Geek Con, no one's going to be sitting around if they die in the first encounter. I've got pre-gens. They will show up. They will appear. I will make sure that you get to play again. You want to roll. At a home table, you know, then I would say, you know, roll the character up again. Roll another character up. Now, what if it's Pathfinder, though, right?
What do you mean?
Pathfinder can be a real pain in the butt to make a character.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. That's okay. So for most of the earlier versions of D&D, you can pretty much make a character on the spot, be done in 5 or 10 minutes at most.
Yeah.
For something like a Pathfinder or later stage D&D, like third edition, when it's essentially the same kind of deal, it can take a long time. That's also when you want to have more characters.
Yeah.
Something to bring out. But I felt the pain of spending hours on the third edition character, which I hated.
Yeah.
And then you get killed and you're like, I spent hours on that guy.
Yes.
But then you just got good at making characters fast.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways you can make a character fast, even in those systems. You already know what you want to do. So, and don't hem and haw about different choices. I want this, that, and the other thing. And you write it all down and you're done. I mean, it takes a little bit longer for those games because there's more things to write depending on what level your character is.
Yeah.
But if you die mid-session, do you really? So you're going to choose between sitting out the rest while you're making your character and everybody else is playing, or making quick decisions, even if it's not
optimal.
Optimal for you. You just pick something and go.
Yeah. And El says con play is very different from normal. Yeah, for sure. No doubt. I mean, I'm not going to have extra characters for my PC, my players at the table when I'm running my own campaign. You need to be ready. Jay Terrell, our buddy Terrell, he's supposed to be there, right, bud? You're going to be at Big Geek Con. Character death is just part of the game. More people need to get good with the idea, especially some of the younger generation people. Yeah, they have a hard time.
It's part of the scene.
Oh, Martins has got a classic. He's got a classic response. Change the name and boom, new character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're running with four or five players and somebody's playing a cleric, someone's playing a thief, someone's playing a wizard, someone's playing a fighter, and you're the extra fighter, I'll just be a fighter again. So, you know, what the heck? I guess for me, I don't see the problem for an experienced player. Joe seems to be having some trouble for an inexperienced player. What's he doing? Okay. Those that are listening to this on podcast won't know, but Joe is screwing around with his chair. What's Flady saying here? It's part of a role-playing, builds muscle memory and teaches you to critique your character's general skills. Did you die because your character was poorly written? role played poorly or short straw? Yeah, that's a good question. Types of deaths. I think Flady leads me right into this next one.
Sorry, I had to chase one of my dogs out of here.
If it's a fair
stuff is all screwed
fair
up.
Play, right? So either dog under the chair. Okay.
All right.
Was that Elizabeth or one of the other ones? That Elizabeth or one of the other ones?
Elizabeth. Joe? Elizabeth.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's going to look out the back window, and then as soon as she sees something she doesn't like, she's going to start barking, and she barks pretty loud.
Yeah. Hey, Longshot, what's up? Flady had just mentioned that it kind of helps you to build muscle memory and ask yourself why you died. I'll put it up there again so Joe can see it now that he's looking. Did you die because your character was poorly written, maybe designed, role-played poorly, or got the short straw? My thought was, now that brings us to the idea of death. Is there, if your death was fair, meaning you don't feel like the DM was like picking on you, you didn't get hosed because the dragon kept attacking Joe's wizard, even though he was down to one hit point and crying in a corner and everybody else was hitting him with long swords. If it's fair, then how do you get mad about that? How does that, and that's part of the game, right?
Yeah. I
mean, I've not played a game, D&D or otherwise, where combat wasn't a big part of it. And if you're going to go into Mortal Kombat, that says it in the name. You could die.
Right, right. So now we're not telling you how to, we're not telling you how you should think about this.
Yes,
we're telling you what we think.
Right.
I mean, we kind of are in a way to telling you to get over being sad about your characters dying.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still your character you're playing. You do what you want, but it'll be a lot better on you if you
buck up,
embrace the Reaper.
Well, you know, and that's what makes, let's be fair, I joke a lot with narrative and story. That can make really cool stories.
Right. Especially if you're like, this is going to kill my character. I know it is, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Josh, like, I played 7 fighters, all first level. I just changed their name. I got 1 attack in 7 different characters. They all died by snake poison. I mean, it's a cool story.
Right. And you could even make up a neat little thing in background where they're all brothers or something like
that. Exactly. Well, what was that show, Gamers? Or the Bard, the Knight of 1,000 Bards, or whatever it was. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Yeah. What if it's the other, though? What if the other shoe drops?
Well, if you have a DM that's targeting characters and being a dick bag, you just need to get onto a different table.
Just screw it. Don't even bring. I think you should.
I mean, you could.
I would bring it up. You could do that. I think you would be more. I mean, if you like the guy, you should let him know, right? You ain't gotta. You just say, "Look, dude."
I'm thinking though, if you're all pals, you're not there. He's not probably not going to be that way, unless that's the way he DMs. And then you can say, dude, that sucks. I'm not, we'll hang out and stuff. But when you're DMing, count me out.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you know each other doesn't mean some of these niceties that we do, if someone's being unfair, you don't really owe them anything.
No, you don't. You do not. And you can say, see ya. Don't want to be ya.
It can appear that they're doing that and they may not be, or, so you could say, hey, dude, why are you picking on me all the time? They're like, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. That could happen.
Dude, I've done that. Our buddy Greg T one time back in Pathfinder, I was running. You were at the table, Rise of the Rune Lords. And, dude, I don't know what it was, but I just got laser focused on his paladin and my stone giant. Oh, crit. And then it was like, he's down. I'm going to swing again, even though he's down. And he's like, dude, I'm down. Why are you smashing me again? And
okay, well, you could hide behind the thing that players do all the time.
What's that?
It's what I would do.
Well, I mean, yeah. And
it might be for some enemies that's what they would do. You're down. I'm going to make sure they're dead. So I'm going to stick my sword in their head to be sure. I mean, some folks might do that, especially if they're not, you know, under any pressure at the moment.
Sure.
But I digress.
Yeah. So,
but fair versus unfair. If you got a guy that's
consistently unfair, you need to ask yourself if you want to play with that dude.
Yes.
L asked kind of a funny question, but it is interesting. Maybe the GM killed your character because he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want you to play in his game anymore. That's possible.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Is. I'm not likely to do that. I'm not the DM that's going to be like, what's that called? Passive aggressive.
Right.
I tend to be more aggressive aggressive.
Right.
I don't want you playing my game. Why? Because you're being a dick and nobody likes you. Get lost.
Right.
Or if I do like, I'm like, look, your style is, you know, you're more like Joe. You need to be more namby-pamby narrative story like me. And we're playing Fate. I've already kicked Joe out, so later.
There you go.
Let's see here. What about this? What about the, even though we kind of beat it, what about the Dark Sun solution from second edition? You have a stable of characters like you have a stable of gladiators. That seems to me a great solution just in general.
Yeah. I mean, there's a million ways to do it. You can just have a bunch of characters that you bring with you all the time in case. You can have retainers. You can, those are probably your two things. Just have a bunch of characters, or if your DM allows it, which, you know, this guy doesn't, retainers that you can just switch over.
No use for retainers. They get in my way of killing
PCs. I just mentioned a use. So
what use? Dying for extra you? Extra
PCs in case. No. They're not there to take the death. They're like, you know, camp followers and whatnot.
Yeah, and that would be superior. You just
snag one of them. Now they're your PC.
That would be superior to like trying to find resurrection or raise dead. Yeah. Darth made a comment a second ago. I think he says, as players, we all understand that when a character dies, especially one you put some time into, it really sucks. We all understand throwing a small fit. Just get it out, then move on and jump back in. You know, you may have to be like,
I've had characters die after playing for a few years or spending a lot of time developing them. And, you know, this is part of the game. At the time, I might feel disappointed or whatever. And dang, I wish I would have rolled a 20 instead of a 1. But, you know, what can you do?
Poop happens. Charlotte Williams asks, didn't Paranoia have the stable of characters built into the game? It's been a while since I've read those rules, but I feel like you can generate a Paranoia character pretty quick, and I think you get clones.
Yeah, aren't they? Clones. I thought there was some kind of clone thing going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can do – well, I mean, Patrick says essentially the solution – I wouldn't say the solution – is the pile of dead bards from Gamers 2, Darkness Rising, sort of. But you could have, like – nothing would stop you from having a fighter, a wizard, a rogue, and a thief, and an assassin just pre-made at the appropriate level, and – whenever your one guy dies, you know, level up, or if you play the game where, well, we're all seventh level, your seventh level character dies, now your first level dude's got to come in, then keep them all first level. I mean, it just depends on how you do it.
Yeah.
That's an option.
Lower or something like that, however you want to do it, yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, with OSE, I could probably let a player, an experienced player like Joe, I would just hand him the book and say, roll your own character now that your dude's died. He'd be done in 10 minutes. He'd be right back in it. So... yeah, I don't. I think backup characters are probably wise, especially for high lethality. How many of those do you have? 50 seems a little extreme. Probably get away with 3 or 4. You'd have to have some serious bad luck to have more than 3 or 4 characters die right in a row. So, but I mean, I guess it could happen. I mean, 50 is kind of nutty, but I think 3 or 4 is good. I think showing up.
Exploding something, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, you know, showing up to a game. Most fantasy games makes me think death is on the table. And when I say that, I mean, it could happen. Bad luck, run into the wrong thing, make a bad decision.
Right.
You got to live with it, dude.
And depending on the way the table runs and everybody's disposition, you might have a high mortality rate at the table, especially at low level.
Oh, DCC can have that, even without the funnel. So.
Yeah, and with our D20 games, once you start getting a few levels under your belt, you've got other solutions.
Yeah.
Which Randy doesn't like any of them.
What's other solutions?
You know, the classic D&D solution, you know, raise dead, resurrection, stuff like that.
Okay, that's a strong statement. To say that I don't like it, I think it's if we lean into it and I just don't think about it, okay, fine. Resurrection is a thing that happens. You can do it. So if your character dies and you guys have the cash, you can go to the local ninth level cleric and he can raise you from the dead.
Give that cleric the guy's pinky and you're good.
Yeah, and our resurrection. Well, yeah. I know that, and that brings up. But let's not ask questions about what can happen.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's resurrection or raised dead. But you're right. Yeah. I don't care for that in general. I would like raised dead to be an event. I wouldn't like it to be every character just got raised from the dead 47 times. But to support buttress your statement, when you get to 14th, 15th level, I'm sorry, if you got a cleric in D&D, you can cast raised dead or resurrection. Let's go. As long as the cleric doesn't die, we're good. Give him the ring of teleportation, and if everybody dies, he goes, boom, I wish for the bodies back, you know. So, yeah, I think that's okay.
Right.
It's okay. I don't like a world. It feels cheap, though. Such a powerful magic feels cheap when it's done that way. But, you know, that can be the game.
All magic can make the gaming seem cheap, high-level magic. I just walk in here, I fireball the whole room, and everybody's dead. That can seem cheap.
I agree. Fair enough.
All that stuff can. It's just a pick your poison kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not for everybody.
I think if I'm going to run a game of D&D, I'm probably going to, if it's not my own rules, I'm probably just going to let whatever resurrection they have happen. This is true. Darth is right. He says, bringing PCs back from the dead can be done, but it's not an easy thing in my games. To be honest, I don't remember any PC being brought back from the dead in any game I have ran. My epically high-level 3rd edition Seven Spheres game, we had resurrections all over the place. But kind of had to. I mean, the game was super deadly.
Like I said, it's a pick-your-poison thing.
Yeah.
A lot of DMs don't like it. I don't know. I understand that on some level, it kind of breaks your verisimilitude bone a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, it can also maintain continuity. So all of you story guys, once a PC gets knocked out, the story changes, which is fine with me. But a lot of people, it's difficult for them, or it's better if the story has better continuity. So raising dead can do that.
Yeah.
You can always have some caveats or favors and different things that are repercussions of being raised from the dead. And honestly, in most D&D games, that doesn't happen until 9th level. And let's be honest, everybody quits by 6th or 7th level.
So. Yeah, but I think a lot of DMs probably around 4th, 5th level, they let character characters have access to a temple where a cleric can raise the dead. They can pay for it.
Well, if they have access, if the DM lets them have access, that's on them.
Well, and I think
I wouldn't.
No, I would make it much tougher. I mean, in an OSE, or that's just on my mind now, but AD&D, I wouldn't have them everywhere you turn. If you're in a big city, it's probably possible, but I would also bring up who do you worship this deity? I mean, this deity is not super charity deity. Why would it just raise you from the dead? Yeah, they may know.
As long as, you know, some versions of D&D, casting, raise dead, or resurrection has an implication for the caster. Like they are aged a year or 5 years or something like that. But if there's no ramifications that directly impact the cleric, about the only things you might have to counter is, I have one resurrection or one raised dead.
Yep.
And if the king dies and I've used it on you instead of the king, the whole kingdom is screwed.
Yeah.
Or some such.
Or if you did happen to be a known worshiper of a god that there was enemies of, or at least not friendly with, they may be like, one less follower of that sounds like good.
Right.
I mean, but who knows? Martinson keeps talking about this, so I don't want to leave him hanging. In X-Crawl, they have a little saying from the original book. He's got the cool saying. Let me go back and find it. In X-Crawl, the saying is, when you die, you die. There is no resurrection magic. It's outlawed in the North American Empire in X-Crawl. So, yeah, you don't have that as an option. If your cleric, like you said, if the cleric dies, for sure. That's going to be bad news.
Yeah. So in raised dead resurrection type stuff is touchy subject with a lot of folks. A lot of DMs don't like it. A lot of players don't either. So it all depends on your.
I think where I'm at now, honestly, I think I'm fine to use it. Should I ever Mudsword become a thing, it'll be a more complex thing. I really like how 13th Age handles it. A cleric can only cast Resurrection like equal to his level, meaning so if he gets, once he's like at 10th level, which is the max level, I think he can cast Resurrection 9 times total in his life. The last time he cast it, though, the 9th time or 10th time, whatever it is, he dies and he can't be brought back.
I think if I was going to make a new game, I would have something for if you're right there and you get to him right away that round or the next round, you know, during the combat, and you're able to, you know, bring him back right then, that's one thing. But if it's much more than that, then it would be more like the, it's involved the souls gone off to where it needs to go, and you have to pull more strings.
Yeah, and L brings up Dragonlance. No cleric, no raise dead. Yeah, in the original Dragonlance, there were no clerics, so there was no raising of the dead. Couldn't Gold Moon staff do that when she was starting to bring that power back? Could she do that with her staff? I don't remember the early story. I can't remember it
very well. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, me neither. I think that what other settings in D&D, and then we'll move on to other genres. What other settings in D&D? So Dragonlance Limited, Raising Dead. Were there others? I think Athas, Dark Sun, you could do it. Birthright, you could do it. Greyhawk.
I'd have to look at those.
No, I'm just running through in my head. I don't know if anybody in the chat remembers another D&D, official D&D setting where Resurrection had some kind of restriction on it.
Dragonlance is the big one.
Yeah. And like I said, I do like the idea of a cleric being limited by their own level, you know, and that they can only do it so many times in their life. I've always thought it would be awesome to have an NPC cleric who's high level and you guys are third or fourth level in a 13th age style, and he's real old. He suffered from all the resurrections he's cast throughout his life. And one of your guys dies and you don't even know him. And he's like, he says, yeah, I'll raise him from the dead. Doesn't tell you anything. And he casts it. And then he says something really cool, like, make this count. And then he dies in front of you.
Oh,
I mean, that would be cool to maybe like motivate the characters. Like, we got to do the cool thing. We got to make,
especially if it was a religion that was unknown.
Yeah. Or yeah, especially. Yeah. And if you didn't even know the guy, but he just, out of the kindness of his heart, which is more than kindness, he's sacrificing his life. That's a religious almost type. That's true. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Clerics, religious sort of experience, right? That would be pretty cool. Yeah, I can't think of any other ways in D&D. What about, there were some issues. John said, didn't Planescape give clerics issues? Yeah, if they were in different planes, they would have some penalties as to caster level penalties. So if you're like so many levels, so many planes removed on the wheel from your deity, you would lose levels.
Especially back in second edition, there was all kinds of different caveats for being so far removed from your home plane, and different planes disallow different spells.
And I'm with Charlotte Williams. She said, I feel like Ravenloft and Planescape had some issues with Resurrection. Planescapes was a level-based thing too far from your home plane, your deity's home plane, if you're out in the outer planes. Ravenloft, I'm not really sure. It feels like something funky was going off in the going on in the Domains of Dread. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if a lot of the cleric magic like that was disallowed, because it would kind of conflict with it being dreadful that, well, I'll just go to the cleric and I'll be fine.
Yeah. Or what if when you cast Raise Dead, you know, it's necromancy, and in the Domain of Dread, maybe you have a side effect, because they had spells that if you cast, you would get side effects in there because the powers.
It wasn't always necromancy, was it?
No, but I'm saying it's
changed. Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, on top of my head, I don't know what version of D&D says it is now, but Raise Dead feels like it should have been necromancy. Was there a healing domain back in the early days?
Or? No, it was the healing spells were conjuration.
Oh, okay.
At one point.
Oh, I forget. Okay, maybe I'm thinking third edition.
At some point, they flipped around necromancy and back and forth. I never liked healing being necromancy. I always thought that was stupid, but that's just me.
Yeah. Ravenloft says Ravenloft didn't take in clerics. I think it did.
If you're
a PC cleric, I think you could be taken into Ravenloft, but Elle's probably remembering something. I don't know. It's been too long. I should look at my Ravenloft stuff.
It wouldn't be that dreadful if the cleric could still do all the cleric things all the time, turn undead and everything. It really wouldn't be as bad.
Bruce, welcome, buddy. Lombardo of Dick's Division, he says, I never saw Resurrection being cast in the Domains of Dread. We raised one guy, but he became a DM NPC, and it was detrimental to our party. Yeah. Ella is saying he thinks the mist turned them into undead. Could be. I don't really know. So.
Yeah, I don't know anything about much about that. Randy had that. It was just, it was scary. I didn't like it.
No, well, Ravenloft's got a lot of screw you stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
if you like,
I enjoy that.
If you like extremely gritty hopelessness, which is pretty much what the Domains of Dread is trying to engender, kind of a hopelessness, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm fine with PC death, but not the hopeless, we're all going to die.
Well, you feel like there's, even if you win, it's going to be at a cost. I know my cousin, JR, and you both were haters of that part. Bruce Lombardo, look, oh, he's making up this time, making up this week for some of his, advanced bestiary comments. In modern games, you can add the Dread template to resurrected or raised characters that are added to the DM NPC pool. Use the advanced bestiary to do this right mechanically. Right on, baby. Yeah. What about death outside of fantasy games? I think I won't look it up, but Flady mentioned a character of his dying in Rifts. Rifts is kind of the gonzo everything goes. I'm sure.
I looked up Rifts.
Yeah.
And in it, it says once you've lost all your hit points, you cannot be saved. Now that was in the hit point section. There could you know how game books are,
right?
That's the primary rule, but there could be spells or effects that make that rule kind of moot.
Yeah.
I didn't take any time to look up all the spells because I ran out of time. But it looks like in Rifts, when you're dead, you're dead.
Oh.
And I would think that in most of those most of those types of games outside of fantasy, you know, sci-fi, especially hard sci-fi, westerns, pulp, anything that's not fantasy, where there's no even when there's some magic, I don't know if I'm trying to remember the name of a game.
Star Wars. L calls them regen pods, but Bacta tanks, couldn't they save you from dead?
Save
you from dead?
I don't know. I don't know the lore.
Okay.
I know that they're good.
Stargate sarcophagus. I don't know much about Stargate, so. Yeah.
So I imagine for the most part that death is death in a lot of games outside of fantasy.
Yeah. But it's not in superheroes. There's all kinds of ways to come back from the dead, sure. Story-wise. If Patrick's
superheroes, special situation, yeah.
Patrick's still listening. What about Shadowrun? Was there a resurrection-type magic in that setting? I can't remember. Long-term injury. Bacta tanks were long-term injury, says Bruce. Okay, I could not remember.
Well, Whatsimahoozit looked like he got killed, but didn't.
Who's watching?
The Emperor. Didn't he come back? He had clone bodies that he would, or they weren't clone bodies. They were something else. But he was able to send his
essence back to, in a comic, he sent it back to that planet Biss, but in the newest movies, which were dumb beyond belief, I think he just came back because they wanted him to.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. Patrick chimes in. Nope. There is no resurrection in Shadowrun.
Shadowrun is what I was trying to remember.
Yeah. And Martinson brings up a good one. Oh, shoot. Deadlands. You can come back as a harrowed character. In the Deadlands realm, in the Wild West, there's the Reckoners. There's these demonic forces that are trying to come into the Wild West. And they will sometimes send what they call a Manitou, a demon, into the body of a dead person, and you come back, it resurrects you, but you're fighting this demon the whole time. That's got a lot of flavor. The Harrow's a really cool character, and they're totally bad as crap. They're awesome characters, very powerful. Patrick clarifies there is a resuscitation spell, but that only saves you from death the same way modern medicine would. All right, cool,
right? So, emergency medicine, so. In our age, someone can look dead, but then come back depending on what interventions you use. So I suppose that's probably part of why I don't mind Resurrection.
Darth says Bacta tanks will save you only if you have some life in you and Palpatine transferred into clones. Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, hi, Crafting Gamer. What's up, brother? Glad you showed up.
Yeah, that's primarily what I'm remembering from is the comic that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something about it in the extended universe, which is the actual canon.
Yeah. I have these massive comics from England. They're like, you can't see this, but they're big. The thing Joe borrowed, they're really good reads.
Large format comics.
Yeah, really huge, almost like a magazine. And they told a story of where the Emperor sent his, after he died on, oh God, where was he thrown down the shaft? That was on the Death Star, right? The second Death Star. So he sends his essence to Biss, B-I-S, this planet that's completely covered in the dark side. And Luke gets really, in that series of comics, Luke becomes total B.A., not a wuss like he did in the most recent trilogy. Here's a big question. Has your opinion of death, meaning how it should happen, when it should happen, has it changed or evolved or been slightly tweaked since I have episode 7 written down, since that's the last time we talked about this?
I don't think so.
No, you think you're still pretty much the same?
Pretty much the same. Character death is fine. Don't really care. It's part of the game. A lot of the games we play. I mean, if it's not part of, I mean, any game that has combat or situations where your character is put in danger, and then death is on the table. Gotcha. And it doesn't bother me. And there's different mitigating things that people have in their games that are in the newer versions of D&D and more modern games that give you a safety net. And I was okay with those things a while back. This was before we did this episode.
Okay.
That you're referring to.
Yeah.
But my opinion changed over the years to not really want that in games that I play, or at least run.
Like hero points, rerolls.
Hero points. I mean, those kind of things are fine, but if they are capable of bringing you back from the dead, if they like the changing the narrative type things,
yes,
but affecting gameplay as well, I'm not so big on those.
No, it just seems kind of cheesy. Welcome Green Apple. He showed up for a minute. He's working and listening, but he answered the question. He goes, I think someone mentioned the sarcophagi from Stargate SG-1. He says, if he's remembering right, they can bring you back if you died very recently. And I think a few people confirmed, Tunka Todd confirmed that was true.
Well, even Star Trek, depending on what set of Star Trek movies you've seen and like, they've resurrected characters. I mean, Spock got resurrected in the original series.
Genesis project where he goes on the planet. Yeah.
That's kind of resurrected. His body was regenerated or whatever, and then his mind got put in it.
This is probably heresy, but you know, whether that was, I thought that was a cool, I thought that was a very cool science fiction-y way to do that.
Right.
Actually, I mean, whether it's possible, I'm sure it's not possible, but even conceptually, physics wise, I don't think it would be reasonable to think so. And what about when, the Genesis machine, Bruce?
Yeah.
That was in Star Trek
two and three.
Yeah. And three. Yeah. That's what brought little, you got to watch the little Spocky grow in about 15 seconds. Yeah. Reincarnated from his corpse. Sort of.
Yeah.
He started out as a baby. Yeah,
but his brain was all messed up.
Yeah. I guess for me, I think my opinion has become a lot more, it's evolved, but it's become more rigid. I've always been, but I'm sort of two minds. It sounds weird. So I like the idea of death being mostly permanent. When you die, you're down, but if you're going to allow resurrection, okay. To me, if we're going to have resurrection, then really as a DM, I'm really going to take the kid gloves
take
off.
Take the kid gloves
off. I mean,
off.
I'm bringing it every time you turn around. So
that's why I don't have a problem with high-level magic, is because you, as the DM, have that on your side as well. So right. We're throwing it at each other.
Yeah, and it's
one
fun.
One way or another.
What about mechanics? Do you have any mechanics that you're particularly fond of, or like death mechanics, either in a particular game that you think, oh, that's really cool?
The simpler, the better. So for me, I would say negative hit point total. So,
oh,
and just once you hit that total, you're done. As an alternate, you could say when you hit zero or lower, because if you being able to get a character precisely at zero from an attack or whatever is rare. You don't see that a lot. You usually see you get whittled down to low hit points, single digits, and then you go way negative.
Right.
But the alternate to that is you get the first time you get hit to below zero or below, mm-hmm. you're at zero, and then you tick down a little bit.
Right.
But preferably just negative con or negative some number that you figure out mm-hmm. and you know in advance, so you know when it happens.
Yeah. I've recently, and Joe knows this, I've recently become enamored of a version. I'm sure it's not my idea. I know I've heard it from other people where if you go to zero, or I would say below zero, I would say zero is completely unconscious. You can be saved, would be my preference. But if you get knocked below zero, we will not track your negative hit points. You are dying actively. And I would roll a D3, 1 to 3 rounds behind the screen. I like the idea that the players do not know it. It's a secret. So they just know their friend is dying and they need to get to him. And if you don't get to, if I rolled one round, if you don't get to him after one round, homie's dead. If there's resurrection, that's what it's going to take, because he's dead. I like that's that.
I don't, but I'm fine with it. I just don't prefer it.
Right, sure. You like to, is it because it's too random and you don't know what's happening? And
it's a little random.
Sure. I like the danger of that part, but it's generous on one hand too, though, because it doesn't track. You could have one hit point and get knocked for 57 damage.
Sure.
And you could be, because they get to you in that time, also they can bind your wounds and save you.
I'm fine with getting obliterated to death and there's nothing that anybody can do.
Yeah. And I think I would like to add something like that, like a massive hit point thing. That could be the one drawback, because mm-hmm. you can take what be at one hit point and get 9,000 damage. You go, oh, look, they just healed me. Take me up. So
right.
that might be a drawback.
At one hit point, I'm not really worried, because no matter how hard they hit me, I'm only going to be unconscious. And then, especially if you have some kind of effect in there that the player can use.
Yeah. You could modify and track it only, because tracking negative hit points to me seems unnecessary, but you could do this. You could say, well, that happened. So if you get hit below zero, you're going to got a chance to be saved. But if you go below your con in a hit, then you're dead. Then I don't roll. That would be a combination of the two, which might make it a little more, I don't know if it'd be palatable or not, but at least it would give you some meat to sort of chew on and think about as a player.
Right.
So anything else, man? Got any other comments you want to make about our death discussion? You said you might have, did you get all your points in you wanted to get in this time?
I believe so. Because in your notes, you were saying that you it can seem video gamey for death being, for resurrection, having raised dead or resurrection.
It really can. Just click on this and you're back. But it doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, I was thinking today while I was driving around, I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had. I never thought I would say this again, but in my older life, I'm like, I wouldn't mind playing just a dungeon crawl campaign, going to the next dungeon, characters come back, need a resurrection, half our party died. Sweet. That's going to be 15,000 gold. We got it. We got 230. We'll do it.
Three levels down, there's a weapon shop and a potion shop.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe get back to town. Maybe. And as you go down the levels, they get tougher. Oh, crap. We fell down.
People in the shop say, hey, we had a hard time in the dungeon today. Yeah, I need some extra stuff. Yeah, I got what you need right here.
I got what you need, baby. Yeah, there's nothing. There's something nice about that. Simple and easy on the brain pan. It'd be interesting to know how many of our players would enjoy that. I know you would. You'd be fine with that. You'd like that kind of game.
just dungeon crawls.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't have to be. I'm not talking purely that, but like the game being centered around just doing adventuring stuff and not and not worrying about a lot of other things. All right, you want to tell them to do the things, Joe? Because I think we're about to hop over to segment two, right? Here shortly.
Yeah.
Oh, before you do that, before you fire, oh, too late. You've already fired
it. Okay. No, go ahead.
Before you fired up, our man said in AD&D, I think I remember this. There was an optional rule that a character can go from 0 to -3 in a single blow and bleeds out to -10 and dies. At -6, a chance to lose body parts. The PC has to rest. Yeah, that would add a little more spice to the death rules.
I like simple better, but that's just me.
I know you do. My D3 behind the screen is simple.
Yeah. Hitting 0. I did talk about that.
Yeah,
hitting 0 hit points precisely almost never happens.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Do those things, man. Subscribe. Yeah,
subscribe.
Share.
So as long as you haven't been dropped to 0 hit points or less, correct, hit the subscribe button. You can also alternately or in addition to, you can hit the thumbs up to like this particular video or audio podcast, if that's how you're consuming it in the future. And please also share. We would like that. We got a pretty decent crowd today. We've gotten up to 18.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Good group. All right. Well, I want to do a little bit of squishing of gaming myths. And this may not be a long topic. I feel like it's probably going to be short. I'm going to try to challenge some gaming cultures. This is more of a debate that you used to hear a lot. I don't know if I hear it now. I think it still comes up. The idea of role player, ROLL, shaking the dice. All I care about is rolling dice.
Mm-hmm.
And the role player, which a lot of people, ROLE, which a lot of people would call the thespian. Though I think Mr. Max Boivin would argue you're just taking on the role of a fighter in a fantasy world. That's all you're doing. So you just play your shtick, right?
Right. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. But that could also be a role player too, or it could be a, you know, little budding actor or actress. Is one better than the other? I mean, is there a divide there?
I don't think it needs to be one or the other. You can do both. I don't think one being better than the other is a matter of taste.
Yeah.
So, and for my part, I like doing both, but I'm more into the gamey part of the game.
Yeah, you're more the ROLL, but you also take on your role, even if you don't quote unquote act and say lines, right?
Yeah, I don't, not generally.
But I think
once in a while I get into the character
you and do.
I say some things in character, but it's, you know, pick and choose.
Yeah.
I don't worry about it.
Whereas I'm more likely to try to be that little cheese ball actor, but I also like the rolling of the dice. I get excited when I roll a 20 and crit something or roll a 1 and get hosed. I don't think there's every table I've played at, almost every table, I've had people that would be on considered both of those categories. And I think people more often than not are a little bit of both.
Right. Most of the time it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. I think as a myth, I think it's not a problem. I'd be interested to know if anybody has ever, I have played a D&D style game with ROLL players and I had a good time at Gen Con. I think I told the story when I first ran Pathfinder for Paizo way back in the day. I had a group of guys. I mean, they were like attack pattern Delta. I mean, these guys were, that's what they would literally say. And they didn't call each other's characters by name or even refer to them. The fighter goes up here. The barbarian supports him with a pole arm. The bard starts singing this. I mean, one guy would say, you do this, you do that. I mean, it was literally like watching Star Trek when they're like, number one attack pattern Delta, you know, and they were efficient. Oh, they murdered the adventure. I mean, it was really impressive. But they didn't do much talky. And so when I'm like going into, I'm being the NPC to send them on the adventure or some of the ones they meet, you know me, I'll get into the voices a little bit. And I'm like,
And then they
just deadpan staring me in the face. Like, can we attack yet? It's a time for initiative. and they were a nice bunch of guys. They're actually from Michigan, which is funny. And they, then it was like the next year they showed up again at my table. And I thought it was a mistake. And they said, dude, that was awesome last year. We loved how you DM'd. And I'm like, really? It didn't seem to fit your mode of play at all. But they
the thing is, though, they can do that no matter what. They can do that even if no matter what level of RP the DM puts in, the players can still do their thing their way.
Yeah, exactly. Too much talky GM. But I mean, I love action too. Don't get me wrong. We rolled dice. We rolled initiative. Mm-hmm. We pulled up the initiative board. We delayed actions. We readied actions. We power attacked. You know, we fainted. We did all the cool stuff. I liked all that. You know, I was way into it.
However much you want to RP is on you at your table.
And you said it before too. Who knows if in those guys' heads, maybe there's a lot of story going on.
Yeah.
They just don't put it out. And they sought me out. They mm-hmm. liked it. So I was like, wow. I was just shocked that they wanted to play with me again. I'm like, didn't you guys? You were nothing like me last. I was like, okay. So they're like, you're great. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it again. And they were just, and they were attack pattern Delta. And I was like, right on, baby. That's how we're doing it.
And that's the other thing I say is I can play the way I play.
Yes.
And then somebody right next to me can be thespian. And if he can be bothered to roll, he'll mm-hmm. deign to roll, you know, only when it's absolutely necessary.
Correct.
And then everything in between, we can all be doing that at the table. And as long as none of us have a hang up about it, then we can all play together. We don't need to, I don't worry about how much you RP unless you're soliloquizing all the time.
Or I'm talking to the second barkeep in the second bar and talking about how his daughter's going to school. Wow, she's grown up. I've been a year or two since I've seen her. She's doing this. And like, Randy, good God, we're supposed to go to the Vampire's Keep. Let's go. And in reverse can be true too.
Sure.
Like, we encounter the Rakshasa, Joe goes, I attack. Dude, we're trying to figure out if he's actually done this. I attack, he's evil. Or even, I attack because I want to. There's a dragon. I fire an arrow at him.
Yeah.
Can we try to parlay, or is this, no? I'm attacking everything every time because I'm playing D&D. Okay, that can get annoying too.
Sure,
it's fine
sure.
to do it every once in a while, but sometimes you got to let people breathe, see what happens. You don't have to attack everything that you see immediately.
Right, but whenever the super big bad guy starts monologuing, always interrupt him with a dagger in his throat.
That is, and you know. That's I used to really hate that, but now I think there's a charm to it. I love when Joe does that. He's like, I shoot him. I'm like, okay. And the thing is,
if you've built him up as the worst, evilest, bad person, that if you give him half a chance, he will just screw everybody over on the planet.
Right.
Then of course you will attack first. You will attack often, and you won't let him talk. If you could sneak up on him and, you know, cut his throat, that's what you would do. As soon as you're facing him, I launch all my attacks, you know, attack the Super Star Destroyer. Don't let him talk.
Sometimes that'll work perfectly and you'll kick the poop out of him. Sometimes he'll be ready for your bull crap.
Yep.
And he's like, I expected that. I forgot to tell you, I have a wall of force up already.
Right.
Or sometimes you kill him. And we talked about it before. He's got some information you really needed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he was going to spill the beans. Good luck. Tunka Todd says, my cousin always RP'd in third person.
That's what I mostly do.
Yeah, in first. Russell didn't RP. Others in group would sometimes RP, but we all had a great time with each other and always had laughs. Yeah, exactly.
I really think most tables are like that.
I do too.
Everybody plays a little differently from each other, and we're all fine with it.
That's why I would claim this myth is a myth. It's not a thing. It's not something. It's not a versus. That's what I mean by a myth. It's not a versus. It's rarely a versus at the table. Bruce, I'm
trying to remember this one.
Remember the Forest Bandit King getting shot? I think I do. That sounds familiar. Getting shot mid monologue in the Gamers One movie. That sounds right. That sounds actually quite hilarious. So yeah.
We're ignoring all the genre stuff. We don't care. He does his thing. He's welcome to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We should have Shauner on the show. Joe's like, I'd like to interview him. That'd be funny. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I think that was kind of a quick hit and a hard target, I think, also as well. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about that? I mean, to me, it's an obvious myth. People, I think.
Well, it's a myth in if you try to frame it as opposites. They're opposing each other. You can only do one or the other, or that there's some big controversy.
Yes.
There's only a big controversy in some people's little noggins.
I think when people think my way of role-playing, playing the game of D&D or some whatever game you're playing, is the best way to play. It's fine to think yours is the best. It's the best for you. But to try to put it on other people, not only should you, I'm really just, why? We can have a great table. We can have a role player. We can have a wallflower just sits there and rolls dice. I've had that. I've had a guy that played at the table, hardly ever role played, rolled dice. You had to tell him, didn't level his characters much, and he didn't care. He didn't complain, and he had a heck of a time. He just liked to observe, right? So, and he was kind of there. Bruce is clarifying. They had to allow three separate times for the Bandit King. Oh, yes, to parlay.
I was trying to remember how that went down.
Yeah, Elvin Archer killed him with a Seeking Arrow if I rolled a natural 20. Yeah.
Well, that's the way it can roll. And then, you know, let the dice fall their way where they may, the chips fall their where they may. If there's a bad result from not letting a particular person talk, you're never going to know.
No.
From the player side of the screen, there's no way to know whether or not you should really let the guy talk, unless the DM says, hey, guys, you need this information, which he really shouldn't do that.
No. I just, dude, consequences, baby.
Consequences.
You'll learn eventually.
But you can learn, but you can't know. You can never know when it's a good time to just off the dude.
Dude, I love it. I would love it if that happened. Like, this is going to make – I have no idea what's going to happen now because they don't know what to do, and these things might happen that could cause them all sorts of trouble. Bruce says, funny you say that. Say what? Talking to me, Shikaka. I just put up at 7:59:20 of our table on Saturdays. Say
what? 8 hours of play.
Wow, dude, that is pimped out.
That was awesome. Funny you said.
Dude, Bruce plays like a demon, man. I don't know what I said, but that 8 hours to play is supremely cool.
Yes.
Joe wants that every single day.
Okay. Last night, Bruce says, last night I'd uploaded a 3-hour love festival for Dune Spice Diver edit. I've never heard of that edit. Is that the original show, the original movie? With the there's an alternate edit for the original movie out.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's a. I didn't know it was called Spice Diver Edit, or that might be a different one. But I have a copy of Dune on DVD with two different edits: the original release, and then a longer edit. They might call it that on the DVD. I just didn't pay attention. So I just flip it over and look at the and watch the longer one
He says it's 3 hours of Dune with lots of. Are we talking the original Dune
original
movie?
Okay. Yeah, because the other thing is a sci-fi deal, and it's a mini series, and it's a much longer than 3 hours. Right. So I'm trying to remember a deleted scene they added in the longer one. I can't remember off the top of my head. It'll take a little while, but some scenes are a little longer, and some there's an intro to the original Dune movie that explains a few things, and I think they cut out Princess Irulan's thing.
Oh.
So the original edit was a particular thing, and then it got changed to have Princess Irulan's character do some talking about the background of Dune.
When he says he uploaded it, does that mean you could go watch that whole movie?
He uploaded his gameplay. I don't think he uploaded.
Oh, okay.
He did he and his
Roger.
Once a week they do a movie review. And this week was it this week? Yeah. I think he said yesterday they did the Dune thing.
Yeah. Ryan David just showed up. He said a little bit better late than, well, he didn't say never. What did he say? Better late than pregnant. So that makes sense. I didn't get it at first. I'm slow and old.
Yes, the miniseries is more like the book, yeah, in a lot of ways, but there are some glaring differences and annoyances, like dumb hats.
Yeah.
The miniseries was the dumb hat series.
Now this is cool. I respect this player. It sounds silly, but I respect it. Dar said, I once had a player that every time she saw a new type of creature, she would yell out, hi, do you want to be friends? Yep, she got hit a lot. As long as she's okay with that.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's funny as crap. Friends.
That's there's nice. A Tiny Toons character that every time they saw some sort of animal, did she call him a puppy? I love aminos is what she would say all the time. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, got her in trouble.
Right. Yeah, whatever. Feelings. Yeah, all right. So anything else about the role versus role?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I something that we shouldn't even be concerned about.
In fact, let's never talk about it again.
Yeah.
I'm offended. I'm offended that I brought it up.
We're going to edit this part out.
Yes, it's out. Forget it. All right.
Yeah, Elmira Fudd.
What's that?
Elmira. There was the Tiny Toons character is named Elmira. I didn't know it was Fudd, but they are apparently all amalgams of different old school Looney Tunes characters. So, all right.
Well, what's cooking in the random geekitude world, my brother? Anything?
Any GeekCon?
Dude, that is. Well, let's just do it. That's the big one, right?
Right.
This coming Friday.
So before we get too far into this.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about other? So we're going to talk about Big Geek Con.
For sure.
But do we want to talk about some things we've written about games we want to play or rules, alternates, or anything like that?
You mean in a general sense or?
Well, this tonight. Once we get done talking about this, do you want to just quit when we're done talking about Big Geek Con? You said you have a lot to go.
I do have a lot to do. I'd prefer to call it a night. If you want to stay on and meet just bounce, you can do that. You can talk with folks. It's up to you, man.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think I need to bounce after we talk about Big Geek Con just because I've got still got things to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Joe, I'm a working man, just don't work as hard. So all right. Big Geek Con. So it's going to be this coming Friday and Saturday. We're looking at least 26, 28 people have bought tickets in advance, or been gifted tickets too. We have a handful of folks that I know are coming to the show without, well, it feels weird to call it a show, but I guess it is technically. We're not showing much, nothing, but how great of gamers we are.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's going to be really cool. I think I got another players adding to the list. We're adding to games daily. I have my adventures written. Yes. Randy does need to finish modifying his modified OSE. It will be even more simplified. Joe was like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, and, OSE is pretty streamlined.
Halcyon's daughter is going to be there. Good. I've got a youngling.
Right.
Two or three younglings for sure. Hopefully she'll play in my Dread Witch of Shadow Mountain adventure. That'll be fun. We are going to have... I think I'm going to just wait. I was going to spill some beans, but.
It's about stuff we talked about earlier.
Yeah. I don't want to give anything away. I just.
Yeah, you do.
I do, but I'm not going to. There's some cool stuff going on.
I'm punning.
Oh, you're being punny?
Yeah.
Right. But it's going to be a good time. We've got a lot of. At least four or five games every slot, six slots over 2 days, 4 hour gaming slots. You can, of course, play a game. I just want to point this out. If you want to play a game on your own time with, you know, four or five people you just happen to grab, you can do that. There's going to be space for you to grab a table and you could play for 19 hours if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah. There's another cool thing that we're going to do, and this is all on Randy and on his end of things. Is if all you want to do is sit there and game, you don't want to leave the ballroom at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And you have to sleep between the days.
You do.
But if you're concerned and you don't want to leave to get food, for whatever reason, there will be food available.
There will be some food available.
Or cheap.
The ladies are cooking and there's going to be some food. If you don't want to leave, it will be cheaper than anything you can buy in the area. And I think on Saturday, don't tell them what it is. The food that will be served will probably be as good as almost any local area. Not a lot of variety, but it will be good. So if you don't want to leave, you can definitely do that. Yeah.
So L asked if we both signed and numbered the print on demand book. I didn't sign it.
We might do that at the con, and Joe's going to get there nice and early, right? Because I'm going to be up moving around 6:30. Joe's probably going to be there around 7:30, you think?
Well, I'm going to be riding in with
Larry. Larry might be earlier. So if you want, we could sit and sign a few of them. That's probably not a bad idea. A couple of folks said they wanted some, so I'm going to save a couple, I think, for Flady and for Darth. But anybody that shows up, yeah, I would. I don't know what, I guess I could sign it. I don't know what would be so great about my signature, but I'd have to. And Joe's been, you know, Joe should sign it too. He's a, he didn't write the adventure, but he was Mr. Inspiration, lots of good ideas. And he,
I'll put it, my ex in there.
You did. You absolutely should put your name, and Mr. Patrick should do it too. Anybody, yeah, you should get the art. The artist is, you know, Patrick, and I, dude, this guy, he needs to do more with the stinking art. I get that art subjective, but I'm very happy with that book.
Yeah,
very happy. I like the art that's there. He really impressed me with one scene. I couldn't believe, just from a description paragraph or two, he nailed exactly what I wanted. So it was really cool. So yeah, I will sign some stuff if people want me to, but you know, I'm a nobody, but I do appreciate people buying the adventure and giving it a try. I think Yeah. Yep.
What talk about that, so I don't know.
Yeah,
in time went, for it to start
4:30 a.m. so he can feel like it's a work day,
because he'll have to go back and get my wife after that, because she won't get out.
A Magic the Gathering tournament hosted by our very own Darth, and it could be pretty involved. So the Saturday afternoon slot might have a lot of people playing Magic. So we'll see what the role-playing game tables look like. I'm not a Magic guy. No offense to Darth. I just don't play it. But I will absolutely be running a couple of games. I may have to do more moving around doing stuff, but I hope to run at least 3, if not 4 games over the con.
Yeah, I think 7 will probably do it. That'll get us there a little before
everything
starts, so I can put my worthless signature in the very nice adventure.
Oh, yeah, I believe the Horde Wars guys, I got a text mid-stream today from the Horde Wars guys. I really need to get back to him. Dar says he would like him signed also from the Horde Wars people. I think they're going to have some physical copies. Those dudes are super cool. Definitely get them to sign your book. Definitely play the game. They are fun. I'm going to try to get in one of their games. Both DM Blackwall and Todd Lindy do a great job. Joe can confirm he's played played games under both of them. And Horde Wars is a fun Horde Wars Basic is a fun
game.
Yeah. So jump
on it. It does all the things that you want to do at your game. Nothing's spared.
I still want to tell more, but I'm not going to. I want the folks to show up. We'll have something to talk about next time. Hopefully pictures on the maybe on the website and maybe some more video. I hope me and Joe will get to do a little videoing over that weekend. Is it within the realm of possibility that if we did some videoing there, like on a Friday and Saturday, you could upload it almost immediately or not? Is that too much to help for? We'll have to wait till
Sunday. I'm not sure. It all depends. So it depends on what you're recording with and all that.
Yeah.
Because let's say you use your phone. There's not an easy way that I know of that you can just give it to me, you know, the file. So
right. I could just email it to you. Well, I got to do it through that stupid Dropbox stuff. So
okay. It won't be immediate.
I'll have my computer. Yep. I just wanted to get the people a chance to look at it. I think when we come back, we'll have a big report. That'll definitely be a segment next week, how it went, and Darth and Flady and others that show up and can give their 2 cents as to what we could do and what we could improve with. But we're really excited to meet everybody and play games and show them some of the surprises we're hoping for.
The best way to do an immediate upload into YouTube, especially, is by the short that they have the YouTube Shorts.
Okay.
So you can use your phone with that. We'll have to figure out how you can do it, because it's I have to give you credentials to do that. It's a dangerous thing.
Give me credentials, I'll always be doing shorts.
Yes.
Look at me, I'm in my shorts. People don't want to see that.
No.
They don't want to see that. Nobody.
We'll have to take your credentials away.
Yeah. Well, usually that happens anyway. Joe blocks me out, shuts me up.
We'll have to cancel your internet service.
Man, hardcore.
Very hardcore.
Joe is merciless. No, that won't happen. Next week canceled due to con crud. I refuse to get sick.
Two days?
Yeah.
Well, come on, guys.
Some folks do.
Eat your vitamins.
Eat your veggies.
And a good, thick steak.
Yes. Medium rare to rare.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's all I wanted to say. I was going to do bigger, but I don't want to give stuff away. I just want to surprise people.
So. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And then we'll surprise everybody else next week who didn't get to attend with what we did.
Yeah. How we dominated all life.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. So if you'd like to support our show, please like, subscribe, and share us where you're listening or viewing the show. Oh, you didn't have any more Big Geek Land information, did you? Big Geek Emporium, any updates?
No.
Okay. We're on the socials, video, and podcast places. If you want to pay us a little moolah, you can do that on PayPal, Streamlab, Ko-Fi, can't speak straight, and Patreon. Our website is www.biggestgeekispodcast.com, and the email is thegeeks@biggestgeekispodcast.com. And, of course, always check out the cool free stuff and the not free stuff at biggeekemporium.com. What's Charlotte saying? Eat your vitamins, try not to shake. Oh, she's giving us some good motherly advice here. Eat your vitamins, try not to shake hands. Remember Brody's prank and mall rats and just say no. Oh, I'm shaking hands with everybody. I may even hug everybody. Watch out, dude. I'm a hugger. Joe knows it. He knows it. He loves it secretly.
And I'm a ball puncher.
I don't love that, but yeah. Anyway.
No, so yeah. Shake hands or not. Up to you.
It's up to you. My wife might even wear a mask. So if you want to wear a mask, go ahead, but not me.
Not gonna
do it. You're gonna get my drainage from me.
Nothing on my face.
Well, we'll talk about it later. My wife might do it for a reason, actually, that you might agree with. Anyway. Well, I guess we're done here. This is Randy.
And this is Joe.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, be geeks like us.